First Samuel chapter number 7. I'm going to read several verses of scripture. I'm going to read in chapter number 7. We're going to read, we'll then be going over to chapter number 12. And I want you to see if you can pick up on the similar theme in these verses, because that's what God has put on my heart. First Samuel chapter 7, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. Now, turn over in your Bible to chapter 12. Verse number 10 in chapter 12. They cried unto the Lord and said, We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. Drop down with me to verse 14, please. If you will, fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. Please look at verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve him with all your heart. Look at verse 23, please. Moreover, as for me, this is Samuel speaking, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. How many picked up on the common theme? The common theme is serve the Lord with all your heart. It's a matter of the heart, amen, when we serve the Lord. We talked last Sunday morning, Sunday night, about serving the Lord with gladness. We talked on Wednesday night about Joshua, Joshua 24, on serving the Lord with determination. He said, As for me and my house, we will. It wasn't hope so, think so, maybe so, might. But he said, We will serve the Lord. Boy, I tell you, it's a great day in your life when you just put your foot down, say amen, lift your heart up to Jesus and say, God, by the grace of God, don't matter to me which way the world goes, I'm going to serve you, Lord. You say, Pastor, what would cause a man to do something like that? Well, the Bible said, for consider how great things he had done for you. How many could say he's done some great things for me? Amen. I tell you, it was a great day when he saved my soul. Amen. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. I want to share with you today some things that God has put on my heart. And I'm not sure if you've got a pencil and you're taking notes like some of you do, if you'll be able to get anything out of this. I'm going to encourage you to listen. Maybe even go back and listen to it again if you want to take some notes. But I believe God wants to speak to this right here today. I believe he wants to speak to our hearts. The Bible said here to serve the Lord. And it said, serve him with all your heart. I want you to know something today, beloved. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. I want somebody to go with me to the book of James. Would you go over there for just a minute? I'm just trying to mind the Lord as he speaks to my heart this morning. The book of James, chapter number 1. You got Hebrews, And then the book of James, I believe, is the way it goes. Hebrews, James, then Peter. James chapter number 1. The Bible said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let me tell y'all something this morning. We don't know how to serve God with all of our heart. I'm going to show you in the book of Samuel. We need his help to know how to do that. This old man that lives here, he don't know how to serve God with all of his heart. The Bible said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Then it said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let me tell you something about the program that the devil's got going on, and the world's got going on, and the flesh has got going on. That program is this, to divide our heart. Amen. Where we kind of have a heart for God, but we have a heart for this at the same time. If you remember in that text this morning, that first text that we read, it said, serve him only. I want you to think about that for just a moment. You say, Pastor, where does this come from? I wrote down just a few things. This is just by way of introduction. I believe it comes from a desire. There'll never be a serving the Lord with all of our heart if we don't have a desire. Let me say this to you this morning. I'm trying to be nice in how I say it. Let me say it like this. I'll bring it to me. I would wonder about myself. I would wonder about my home in heaven. I would wonder, beloved, about my relationship with God if I didn't have a desire in my heart to serve him. I'm telling you, when God saved me, youngins, he put a desire down in my heart. I didn't have to be pumped. I didn't have to be primed. I just wanted to do something, anything for God. I remember going in my pastor's office and telling my pastor, Pastor, I didn't come in here to tell you what I'd do or what I won't do. I said, if it needs to be mowed, I'll mow it. If it needs to be painted, I'll paint it. If it needs to be cleaned, I'll clean it. If you need a Sunday school teacher, I'll teach it. If you need somebody to drive a van, I'll drive it. I'm telling you, I just wanted to do something for the one that did everything for me. He did it all for me. And I wanted to do something for him. I didn't know how to do anything. But I tell you what, there was a desire that exploded in my life to serve the Lord. But then I had to get under my pastor. And boy, I'll tell you what, a lot of what's going on in my life today is because I submitted to the leadership of my pastor when I got saved, Brother Bud Wishaw. And I say his name humbly. He was a man of God. Amen. He come out of North Carolina and he loved the Lord. He was pastored in Virginia when I got saved in Glade Spring, Virginia. But a lot of what's going on in my life today, if not most, is because of counsel that he gave me along the way. Amen. You see, not only do we need a desire, but we need directions. Those directions are going to come from different people. You see, here in this text, if you read through this text, I want to challenge you sometime today. Get in this, start in chapter 7 and read all the way up to chapter number 17. That's where David's going to take on Goliath. But you read all the way up through there, beloved, and you're going to see, beloved, that God used Samuel in the leadership of the people of God. Amen. In a mighty, mighty way. Samuel's called a prophet. Samuel's called a seer. Amen. He's one that God spoke to and God spoke to the people. You say, well, Pastor, we don't have a prophet. We don't have a seer. We got something better than that. We got a book. Amen. I'm telling you, we got directions from heaven right here. Amen. In this old King James Bible, thank God for this book. Amen. Then there needs to be, beloved, some determination if we're going to go on and serve the Lord with all of our heart. And we ought to do it with a destination in mind. Honey, I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Say amen. The older I get, the more I realize I may be one step from home, one breath from home. Amen. I believe God's people ought to serve the Lord with all their heart, with home in mind. Let me give you several things here today that I believe God can bring this home with. I see this serving the Lord with all of our heart as a matter of repentance. You say, Pastor, what do you mean there? Well, if you go back over there to chapter number 7 and verse number 3, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return. That word return right there means there's going to have to be a change of direction. I'm speaking to people in this room today. If you serve God with all your heart, then you're going to have to change directions from the way you're going right now. Because right now your heart's divided. Your thoughts are divided. And beloved, listen, you got the world pulling this way and you got the Lord pulling this way. And I'm telling you, God wants us just to get it settled in our heart. Amen. And the Bible said, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, if you do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away. Beloved, listen to me. This is not easy. This is not easy, beloved. Amen. But it's true. In all of our lives, most of the time, if they're somebody that's going to serve the Lord with all their heart, there'll no doubt be something that needs to be put away from their life. We don't like that. Amen. We want it all. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, it don't work that way. God said you're not going to have Ashtaroth and you're not going to have the gods of the Philistines and have me too. You got to make up your mind, amen, which way you want to go. And beloved, that's going to involve some repentance. The Bible said no man can serve two masters. In the commandments, God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm going to tell you, let me show you a little God that we got in our pocket. You say, preacher, I wouldn't call that a God. I'll tell you what I dare you to do. I dare you to check the time last month spent on this and the time spent in this. I dare you to check the time last month spent on this and the time spent on these. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, we've got more time-saving devices than we've ever had in our life and less time than we've ever had in our lives. Because there's a trap being laid for us. Oh, Slewfoot, he don't want us to serve God with all of our heart. He don't want us to get on fire for the Lord. He don't want a daddy, amen, to be that godly daddy in that home and a mommy to be that godly mommy in that home. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, I saw that God said, I want you to serve me with all of your heart. And I believe it's still true today. Amen. Put away in verse number 3. Look in verse number 3 at another word. The Bible said here, and prepare your hearts. Did you know what preparation takes? Takes time. Brother Chuck, years ago I did some cabinets for your mother-in-law. And I'm not saying this boastfully, but it takes a lot of time to prepare for something that only takes a little bit of time. You've got to work the wood. You've got to sand the wood. You've got to clean the wood. You've got to seal the wood. And it's all for this last step where you just spray it. And it turns out beautiful. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, preparing our hearts to seek God, preparing our hearts to put Him first in our life. It's going to take some time. It's going to take, beloved, laying something down, putting something away. Amen. And saying, God, listen, you're more important to me than breakfast. You're more important to me than my phone. You're more important to me, amen, than money. You're more important to me, beloved, than my job. I'm just telling you, beloved, we can have it all. We can serve God with all of our heart and God still bless us. But, beloved, He has to be the one that's first. Seek you first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things will be added unto you. In verse number 9, the Bible said here, and Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. There's going to be something to put away. There's going to be a preparing of the heart. But then there's going to have to be genuine prayer. Not now I lay me down to sleep. Oh, God, help us with this mess. God bless our missionaries. I'm just telling you, beloved, I believe God's got some things in store for our church. I know that everybody ain't going to step up and say, God, I want to serve you with all my heart. But I'm telling you, God's put it in my heart to preach. If I could just get one. If I could just get one, if God could just get one pastor, if God could just get one, amen, and say, Lord, I'm tired of, listen, I used to travel up through Maryland going into Pennsylvania to preach in those prisons, and I've never preached a message on it, but I've thought about it a lot. You go under an overpass, and up there's the name of the road. You know what it is? Halfway Boulevard. Right there's where most of God's people live. They live on Halfway Boulevard, amen. Instead of, beloved, seeking God with all their heart and serving God with all their heart. Beloved, listen, they're trying to do everything, and they do everything and do nothing well because they're not serving God with all of their heart. The Bible said, if you look in verse number 12, what happened when they begin to seek God with all of their heart? Look at verse 12. Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. How many can say, preacher, I need his help? I'm going to tell you how you can get his help, beloved. You just begin to seek him with all your heart. You begin to serve him with all your heart. And the Bible said here as a result, we're going to get help from God. In verse number 14, and the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. There's a restoration that goes on. Can I say to you, beloved, listen, when we walk away from God and we live on Halfway Boulevard, there's a lot of things being stolen from us. But God said, it's not too late. Just come back and serve me. I'll restore. Amen. What the devil has stolen, amen, in your life. Think about that. It's a matter of repentance. Look at chapter 8 with me for just a moment. There's so much here. It's a matter of serving him only. And listen to me. I got to go back and say something Brother Billy said because it fits right here real good. Brother Billy Mitchell said this, and I'll never forget hearing him say it. He said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. What a statement, Brother Brian. If you've ever repented, you're still if you read your Bible and you study the children of Israel, honey, they got a lot of practice at repenting. They got a lot of practice at sin, and they'd sin, God judge them, and they'd come back to God, cry out to God, God forgive them, and it just a cycle just went on and on. I want you to know something. As a child of God, I've been saved since 1987. I'm glad I serve a God that's still in the forgiving business. When a child of God repents, say, God, I've not served you with all my heart. God, I'm tired of this Halfway Boulevard. God, I need you to do something for me. Beloved, when we get in that shape, God's fixing to help us. It's a matter not only of repentance, but I want you to see this. How come it happens? It's a matter of rejection. I want you to see this. I learned something as I studied. I learned something every time I study. But I learned something. I tell you, God has a way. I get into a passage of Scripture. But Chris, I don't know about you, but God has a way of just making me feel about that big. How you been saved all these years and you didn't see that? Amen. How you been studying the Bible, preaching all these years and you didn't see that? Well, let me tell you one thing about my God. He's coming down the road right on time. Sometimes, beloved, he don't want you to see it at that time. Amen. But he comes along and he wants you to see something. It's a matter of rejection. Let me show you what's happened right here. Look at verse number 1 of chapter number 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. That sounds good. How many believes and knows that Samuel was a godly man? I'm telling you, he was a godly man. He was God's man. He was a godly man. But listen, the Bible said, and his sons walked, what's the next word? Not in the ways, in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. I've always known, as long as I've been studying the Bible, that the children of Israel wanted a king, and they wanted to be like all the other nations. And what they did in doing that is they rejected King Jesus. They rejected the God of heaven. It was a theocracy. God was their captain. Say amen. And they say they come along. But what I didn't realize was this. It was a result of Samuel's two rebellious sons. Two rebellious sons. Beloved, I believe, listen, not only did Samuel's sons reject the leadership of their father, but Israel rejected the leadership of their Father in heaven as a result of this. I'm just telling you, it's no wonder in this text, if you read through it, that God said rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. I thought it started in the heart of the children of Israel. No, sir. It started in the heart of Samuel's boys. Amen. We're not going to do it like Daddy. Let me tell you something, young people. You'd be very wise, amen, to find you somebody older than you are that's walking with God and walking their steps. Amen. And thank God for them. Amen. If you've got a mommy and a daddy that'll correct you and lead you in the way of righteousness, you had nor to murmur, you had nor to complain, you ought to thank God you've got a mommy and a daddy like that. The Bible's talking about rejection here. Samuel's sons rejected their father's leadership. The people rejected God's leadership. Now, let me show you this. Come on down to verse number 7. The thing displeased Samuel. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. I'm going to tell you something right there. You say, my daddy's a godly daddy. But I'm not going to follow him. You know what God's saying in that text right there? The Bible said, honor thy father and thy mother. Ain't that right? This could go, beloved, as far as you want it to go. But let me tell you something. This is true. God is saying, you're not rejecting your daddy. You're rejecting me. I'm the one that set it up for the man to be the head of the house. Somebody say amen. Ladies, if you won't follow your husband and you won't support your husband, amen, you're part of the women's lib movement, let me tell you what God's saying. You're not rejecting your husband. You're rejecting him. Amen. Do y'all see that right there? And I'm telling you, beloved, there's one reason that a lot of people will never serve God with all their heart. It's because they do not want to be brought under the authority of another. Amen. We need that authority. And that police officer pulled me over the other day. I didn't get smart with her. Matter of fact, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't have said what I said. We're living in a generation when it's dangerous to look at a woman and say, ma'am. Did y'all hear what I just said? Am I right or am I wrong? If I had it to do over again, I would have said, officer. But I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to tell you something right now. And you say, Pastor, what happened? That ain't none of your business. Say, no, I'm just kidding. She had mercy on me. Amen. She said, I'm not going to write you a ticket. Slow down a little bit, will you? She asked me if I was in a hurry to get somewhere, and I was. I was trying to get to the dump before it closed, but who's going to believe a story like that? Unless you let the tailgate down, show them you got a load of trash. I did have a load of trash. And I had that little encounter with her. Still got to the dump before it closed and found out this closed all day. I'm just telling you, beloved. My daddy taught me early on to respect authority. And I believe that's one of the reasons that some will never serve God with all their heart. They're going to be the boss or die. Honey, I'm telling you what's the truth. I've got a good boss. And I'm not talking about Tanita either, amen. She's a good boss too. But I'm telling you, I've got a Father in heaven. He's never led me the wrong way. He's never told me a lie. He's never chastened me but what I didn't need to be chastened. He's never directed me in a way that was bad for me or hurt me. He's always helped me. And I don't know about you, but in this matter of serving the Lord with all your heart, sometimes we're going to have to see that there was rejection involved. There needs to be repentance involved. Look at chapter 12 quickly with me. Let's go over to chapter number 12. There's something going on here that I believe is important. Let's look at verse 9 down through verse number 12. The Bible said here in verse number 9, "And when they forgot the Lord, their God, He sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king." What's going on here is Samuel is rehearsing in their ears how they have gotten to this place. And I've talked about a matter of repentance and a matter of rejection that's brought them to this place. But where are they going to get some help? It's going to be a matter of remembrance. They're going to have to go back and remember. How many is glad you... Listen, in these 13 years, we've buried many precious people right here in our church. But I thank my God for the precious memories, the remembrance I can remember, things I can remember, things I can remember and rejoice in with each one of those precious people. But I'm going to tell you, in our relationship with God, there needs to be a matter of remembrance going back. Do you remember where He found you? Was anybody desperate to be saved when he saved you? Do you remember what He did for you? Do you remember Him picking that burden up off of you, that load of sin up off of you? I'm telling you, beloved, that those are things that are healthy. We ought to go back. I believe that this was evident in the life of Paul. Every time he got up to preach just about, he took them back to the road to Damascus. I want to tell you where I met him. I want to tell you what happened that day. Amen. I was going to lock up some of them Christians. I was going to kill some more of them. Amen. And God knocked me off of my high horse. And he's glad God knocked you off of your high horse. You humbled your heart. You said yes to the Lamb of God. Honey, that didn't happen without His help. He initiated that. The Spirit of God, when we could not come to where He was, He came to you and I. It's a matter of remembrance. The Bible said the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Samuel is leading them here to remember how God has led them. Remember what God has done for them. Let me use these words in spite of them. God had been good to Israel. Though Israel had not always been to God. How many can say God's been good to me, though I've not always been good to God? He didn't bless me because of me. He blessed me in spite of me. Amen. We need to remember that. This is probably the most important part of the message. If you'll look with me over here, verse number 20, "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve Him with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things. Solomon knew what it was, didn't he, to go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for their vain. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord. You think about that, Brother Dale. It pleased the Lord to make us His people. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. And the Word of God said in verse number 23, "Moreover, as for me," Samuel said, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." Beloved, it's a matter not only of repentance, and there's rejection involved, there's remembrance involved, but somebody has got to find the right way. It's a matter of the right way. You can't, listen, God uses men like Samuel. God uses a Sunday school teacher. God uses a pastor. But the people that God uses are looking to God's book. We're just an avenue, a channel of God's book. Amen. And so you're going to find the right way in God's book. When He says, thou shalt not. Beloved, that's the right way. Amen. We're not picking on people because you've got two women that say they get married or two men that say they got married. We just got a book that says that's wrong. We're not picking on people because they're breaking into the department store and stealing, amen, and at the 7-Eleven and stealing. We're just got a book that says that's wrong, amen. We're not picking on people that are living in an adulterous affair. We're just preaching God's book. It says it's wrong. We're not picking on people that's putting stuff in their body that's killing them, amen. We're just preaching God's book. This is body. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. A lot of people don't realize, beloved, that sometimes when they're just mad at the preacher, they're really not mad at the preacher at all. They're mad at the Lord. It's the Lord that laid these things down. He said in verse number 14, you say, "Pastor, what's the right way?" He said, "Fear the Lord and serve Him." Yeah. Beloved, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the right way. Fear the Lord. Realizing everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we listen to, everything that we look at, that one day after a while, we're going to face the judge. The judge ain't the pastor. The judge is the Savior. We're going to face Him. We're going to stand there before Him and have to face Him, beloved, and either gain reward as a Christian or lose reward. If a person's lost, they won't stand at that judgment at all. They will stand at the great white throne judgment and be judged according to their works and cast off into an eternal burning lake of fire. There's people don't want to hear that. It don't matter. Beloved, it's in the book, and we've got to preach what's in the book. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And beloved, there's no place, I don't care what organization says, there is in between. When we breathe our last breath, we'll either be present with the Lord or we'll lift our eyes in the region of the damned. There's no place in between. Fear the Lord. Secondly, in verse number 14, fear the Lord and serve Him. This is the right way. Obey His voice, not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. Then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue. The next word is following the Lord your God. The right way has to do with fearing God, but the right way has to do with following the Lord. Going back to what I said a while ago, I'm not going to get deep into this, but the Apostle Paul said this in writing to the church at Corinth. They were carnal. That meant they had a real struggle with the flesh and the desires of the flesh. And Paul said, "Be you followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. Every daddy in this room ought to want to live their life in such a way that every one of their children could follow them in this life. Years ago, I either read or heard, I don't remember which, an illustration. It had to do with a man that had a drinking problem. And I guarantee you, if we ask for a show of hands, there'd be men in this room that's had a drinking problem before in your life. This man had a drinking problem. They lived out on the farm. They had one of them old screen doors and went, wee, boom, 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 boom. You know what they do. And it snowed. The man had to hide his liquor in the corn crib. Brother Michael, because his wife, when she found it in the house, she poured it down the drain. You say, whatever you want to, that's a good woman. Amen. Poured it out. So he was hiding his liquor. So he goes out there one winter day. Whee! He heard. He turns around and looks. And that man's little boy was putting his feet in his daddy's footprints in the snow. They're following you where you're leading them. You know, if I was to ask you, Brother Chris, are you serving the Lord with all your heart? Don't you answer me. Let me tell you what would be better than that. It'd be to ask Jackson. It'd be to ask Ree. Don't ask Pastor. Ask Miss Eve. Ask Charity. Ask little Sawyer that I got to see a couple of days this week. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you no. But I want to. I want to so bad. Don't you want to serve the Lord with all your heart? Don't you want to serve Him with all your heart? We need to follow the Lord. We know His instructions is the Scripture. But we need to follow His instruction. And we can only do that through the Spirit. And then, if you look in verse 14... continue following the Lord. Look at this word, your God. He's your God. You know what that means? That means there's faith. That means you've believed God somewhere along the way. You've trusted Him. He's your God. That means, glad you can say, He's my God. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I thrust my finger, unless I touch His side. Jesus said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Thomas, I don't even know. The Bible don't say. I believe when he heard his voice, he said, my Lord and my God. I'm glad he's my Lord and my God. Let me show you this and I'm finished. Turn back to chapter 10, verse number 26. There's so much in this text. Saul, he gets off to a good start, but he doesn't finish well. Somewhere along the way, Saul thought that he could enter into the priest's office. God hadn't made him a priest. Somewhere along the way, Saul, let me tell you what he did in layman's terms. He thought more highly of himself than he ought to think. I preached a message years ago. You know, Jesus said, enter into thy closet. Brother Chris, you remember that. When you pray, enter into your closet. And I preached a message entitled, Some Things I Found in the Closet. And one of the things I found in the closet was a place to be alone. I always said, if you open that closet door and somebody says, boo! It might be the end, amen. It's a place to be alone. Another thing I found in the closet was clothing. When you get in the closet, you can realize, Brother Brian, that our Lord clothed you and I in a robe of righteousness. Another thing I found in the closet was some shoes. The Bible said, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Another thing I found in the closet, somebody help me right here, especially you ladies, I found some junk. Raise your hand if you're guilty. Say amen. I found some junk in the closet. You say, what do you mean? Beloved, when you get in that closet with Jesus, He'll show you some things that needs to go. Amen. Needs to go. Another thing I found in the closet was some valuables. You get ready to go on vacation. How many's ever done this? You take something valuable and stick it in the closet. Amen. If I was a thief, that's the first place I'd look. Ain't that right? But you know why we don't know what's valuable in life? We don't spend time in the closet. So we're spinning our wheels on things that really aren't valuable. Now I'm trying to remember why I started all this. What is? Oh, I know what it is. Here's what it is. I'll get up here and illustrate. I think I can. Oh gosh, this is dangerous. What's up over the clothes rack? What is it? You know what scares me? That my God would set me up on a shelf. That's what he did to Saul. He set him up on a shelf. He said, Pastor, you cannot believe what you're preaching now. Well, yes, I do. God said, I want you to serve me with gladness. God said, I want you to serve me with determination. But that same God said, I want you to serve me with all of your heart. I don't want your heart divided. I want you to serve me with all of your heart. If I didn't have that desire, I would wonder if I've ever met him. I would wonder, do I really know him? Because to know him is to love him. And to love him is to serve him. And to serve him is to have a life that's full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege, the blessed privilege, Lord, to pray. God, you wrote these things in this Old Testament for our admonition, for our learning. And I'm asking you, Jesus, today, work in our hearts. Help us, our God, that we wouldn't live on Halfway Boulevard. Help us, Lord, to change addresses and get over on Glory Avenue, where, Lord, we can serve you with all of our heart. Lord, when you were looking for a king, they thought of all of Jesse's kids, surely that eldest might have been him, Eliab. But Lord, you said, is there any left? There's a little shepherd boy out there in the field. And God, you don't just see our actions this morning. You see our heart. You know what makes us tick. You know what motivates us. I pray, God, this morning we would determine to serve you with all of our heart. Lord, before we can serve you, we must know you. There are people here today that do not yet know the Lord. I pray, God, you'd speak to their heart. Help us, we pray.